Well, I've not had a sermon as hard to get here. I was with Jasmine gone. How many know sometimes you really miss your better half?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sitting there eating, thinking I got plenty of time. I look down, it was 15 till 10. I said, oh, and I have to drive to church. I don't know if I told you that I have to drive to church. It's really a problem. And I made it here, so I grabbed everything, ran out, got here, and I forgot my sermon. Come on, somebody. So, and Jennifer just called me. She wanted me to hold Noemi because Jasmine is gone. And you know, I hate doing that. But then, so, but we, then Ben said, I'll go grab it. So he went and grabbed it. And he went and I got my drink. I went and ran and grabbed my drink out of the car. I just turned it and it spilled all over me. I said, help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Prop me up on every leaning side. All right. John chapter 10, verse 10 says, the thief. Everybody says, the thief. We, the other Sunday, Elijah came up and talked about a thief. You remember that? You remember when he did that the other day? And the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I came that they might have life and have it abundantly. So I want to talk to you this morning about the thief. Let's pray. Father, I ask you to open our eyes today. Teach us. Not just head knowledge, but heart knowledge, that we might change and know what's going on in our lives and deal with it. And we love you with all our hearts in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. 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 You can be seated today. On the back, in the back there somewhere, I don't see it, but Ben says it's back there. The group from New York brought down, and 39 of them came, and over half of them were, he's pointing at them. Oh, there they are. Look back here. Look back at Nick, we have cans of chocolate-covered pretzels, and they're not any good. They brought them, and so first come, first serve. Take all those, if you would, and feed your kids for lunch. That'd be a great cheap lunch for your kids. And we want to thank them. 39 of them came. A number of them were professional guys from plumbers, electricians, carpenters, carpet layers, da-da-da. And they did a tremendous job on our church and our homes. And so if they're thankful, let's just give them a thank you, would you? And they helped us get over a hump. You know, it'd been about 6-7 months, and they got us to get over a hump. And we are rolling. We're just a few weeks away from being in, and that is the truth. Come on, somebody. And so we're excited about that. We want to thank you guys from New York. It meant the world, and we appreciate all that you did. All right, I've been wanting to talk about this because I feel like sometimes in what happens in families and lives that we just battle the air. You know, I remember one time a boxer was in a ring, and he was getting plummeted by the other guy, and his trainer kept trying to encourage him. Hey, he's not laying a hand on you. He's not laying a hand on you. And the guy's face was swollen up. And finally the guy said, well, then you better look for the referee because somebody is hitting me. And because what happens in your family is somebody's hitting you. Somebody's smacking you. And one of the things about the devil is if I were the devil, I would want to deny my existence. And I would not want you to know that I'm there. I wouldn't want you to know that I'm at work. I wouldn't want you to think that there's an outside influence that's taking place, that there's more than just physical. It's more than just your problem, your wife's problem, your kid's problem. And but he's not a myth. He's a monster. Come on, somebody. And he is out to kill, steal, and destroy. Jesus said that. He said, the thief comes only. Everybody say only. A thief doesn't come to bring you a bread basket. No thief ever comes to your door. I'm a thief. I just like to bring you a bread basket. The thief comes only. The only reason he comes is to steal, kill, and destroy. And that's a characteristic of a thief, to steal. And then he adds kill and destroy. You know, stealing, you understand with a thief, but maybe in Louisiana we understand the other part very, very plainly, the kill and destroy. And but it's the final purpose, the ultimate purpose that this thief wants to do. So I want to talk to you about the thief this morning, because every one of our lives there's a thief at work. We Ben and I the other day we told you when Elijah was telling us about about this truck that went by, we saw a thief come by to case the place out. And every day of your life there's a thief coming by your life to case your life out, to see what he can steal, kill, and destroy. So let's talk about that, three things. So I want to talk to you about what's happening in your family, your life, your business, you name it. Number one is the threefold attack of a thief is, number one, he is to steal. And the Webster definition of that is to take someone else's possession without consent. How many of you have ever been stolen from? Let's see, how many of you have most of you have been stolen from. And stealing, in our law system, we have three levels of stealing. The first level is larceny, and that's when someone breaks into your home while you're at church and takes your TV. And I remember, who was it? Was it Jack? Somebody, he was going somewhere, saw their lawnmower in the back of a truck they stole. I forgot. Somebody was going home, and they went a different, and they were going out for somewhere else, and they saw this guy going down their street and had a lawnmower in the back of their car. That looks just like my lawnmower. And he pulls in. When he gets home, his lawnmower is gone. Come on, somebody. And so you can imagine. I remember who was the head on the news, a guy that ordered pizza and then robbed the pizza guy. Remember that one? Yeah, he ordered pizza at his own house and he robbed the pizza guy when the pizza guy came to his home. So that's someone that breaks into your home and steals. It's taking of your possessions. Then robbery is the second one. A robber larceny. Let me just say, on larceny, there can be grand larceny or petty larceny, depending on the amount that they steal. But robbery is another step up. Robbery is when they rob you in person. Not that you were, you're away and they steal something from you while you're away, but they rob you in. How many have been robbed in person? Let's see your hands. Yeah, look here. A number of you have been robbed in person. And that's the second kind of, and a robber doesn't just break into, you'll get more time in prison for robbery than you will for larceny. And then the third one, though, is, and I really feel like the one the devil does the most, is embezzling, an embezzler. So an embezzler is someone, that's the third type, is doesn't steal everything at once. An embezzler takes a little here and a little there, just a little bit here, on and on. You remember you read the story about the woman that was a payroll accountant. She stole one penny out of everybody's check. They finally caught her, but she was stealing one penny out of everybody's check, and it was a big corporation, and she had stolen hundreds of thousands of dollars, a penny at a time. And one of the biggest tactics I think the devil does is he's an embezzler. If this woman would have taken the $100,000 all at once, it would have shown up immediately. No one would have caught it. And one of the biggest attacks the enemy's got against your life is he is an embezzler. He will come. He's a thief. That's what a thief. But one of the types of thieves is an embezzler. And I think one of the biggest things the devil does in terms of stealing from us is he embezzles. He comes in, the thief comes to steal. He's an embezzler. He comes and tries. If he stole everything at one time, you'd stand up and rebuke him and fight him. But what he does is he steals a little bit here and a little bit there, a little bit this week, a little bit next week, a little bit the week after. And one day you wake up and you realize, how did I get where I'm at? Because there is an enemy called a thief. And this thief will come and he's constantly trying to steal from you. And one of the biggest ways he does it is he embezzles. The thief is embezzling your life, your joy, your peace of mind. Little by little, one day you wake up and you backslid. And you went, how in the world did I get backslid? I didn't do it. I mean, I'm same thing I was yesterday. But little by little, and he begins to do a little bit of your peace, a little bit of your time. And I'll just tell you some things he'll start doing. He'll start embezzling, with little things. Like, let's just miss a Sunday, don't go to church. We're no big deal, this. Let's don't do this. Let's don't, my prayer life. Let's just kind of let it kind of play off. All these things, and it's a little bit here, a little bit there. And next thing you know, the thief has embezzled, and the thief will do this to your marriage. It's a little flirt here, a little watching pornography there, a little abusive language here, a little bit hard-heartedness here. And the next thing you know, it's coming apart. And you have to read this. When a thief comes in your house, he doesn't steal your used bar of soap. Is that right? He didn't go in your bathroom. Man, look at that bar of soap there on that side of that tub right there. I think I'll steal that thing. You know what he does is he comes in and he steals the valuables that you have. A thief comes to steal the valuables. I'm just going to show you one thing. Let me show you one of the most valuable things that the devil comes to steal from your life. And Jesus even remarks, look what he says in Matthew 11. They came to Jerusalem, and Jesus went to the temple, began to cast out them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves. and would not suffer that any man should carry any vessel through the temple. And he taught, saying unto them, Is it not written, My house shall be called of all nations the house of prayer, but you've made it a what? A den of thieves. And here's the house of God that should have been a house of prayer, but these thieves had come and stolen the use of it. No longer is it now being used for what it was supposed to be used for. Now it's being used for thievery. And I won't get into all that, but he said, You've turned this place into a house of thieves. A den of thieves, a place where they come and operate out of. And he links it, I want you to know, it's the big thing he links it to is prayer. He said the thing they stole was prayer. The thing they stole was prayer. This place should have been a house of prayer, but they stole it, and now it's become a den of robbers, a den of thieves, and it should have been a place of prayer. Let me tell you, one of the biggest things the devil will embezzle out of your life is your prayer life, because your connection with God is that it determines everything else in your life. Your relationship with God will determine everything else. The number one thing in your life should be your relationship with the Lord. Because it'll make you a better husband, a better wife, a better father, a better mother, a better businessman, a better friend. It will make everything in you. That is the absolute. And so the robber comes in to steal the most valuable thing you've got. And when this embezzler comes in, what he does is he begins to steal from you the number one valuable thing, and that is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He steals your relationship with God, and he embezzles your time. He embezzles your desire. He embezzles your want to. And little by little, you say, man, it's been a long time since I had a consistent prayer life. You look back and say, man, it's been a long time since I've been any really touch with God on a consistent basis. There were these thieves that were stealing, and they were stealing prayer. Listen, and then you begin to want, you know, God to do something great in your life. And you try to do it through a book, or try to do it through a movie, or try to do it through a sermon, or try to do it through, you know, a seminar. You go and you try to get your marriage put back together. You go to a seminar, you go and you want your business, so you go to a business meeting, or you go, and all these things are good in their place. But they will never bring the revival in your life until you have a deep relationship with God through prayer. Come on, somebody. So the devil steals that from your life. Because what I do many times when I'm in a counseling and somebody's burnt out and ready to give up and throw the towel in, do you know one question I'll ask them many, many times? I said, how's your prayer life? And never have I had one say, it's vibrant. Man, I'm in touch with God. Man, we spend so much time together with God. And they kind of go, who, what? And so one of the things the embezzler does is he embezzles your most valuable possession. That's your relationship with God. It'll give you wisdom in business. It'll give you wisdom in marriage. It'll give you wisdom with kids. Come on, somebody. It'll give you wisdom with grandkids. It'll give you the ability to do and be and relate and all those things. It's the grease. Listen, it's the grease that will grease every wheel of your life. And it will do and it will do what nothing else can do. You know, the Bible says this in Acts chapter 2. It says, these all with one mind were continually, everybody say continually, devoting themselves to what? See, the thief hadn't gotten in on this group. They were continually, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Look at the next scripture. They were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship and the breaking bread and to what? Prayer. Go to the next one. Now, Peter and John were going up the temple in the ninth hour, the what? The hour of prayer. I'm going to tell you one of the biggest things that happens is I think the biggest problem today is not unanswered prayer. I think the biggest problem today is unoffered prayer. You have not because you ask not. And you don't have a relationship because the embezzler, there's a thief. You have to know this. The biggest thing he comes against you is your relationship with the Lord. Your prayer time. Your talking with God. And the biggest thing he tries to come in and steal from you, it's not your TV set. It's not your 52-inch plasma. It's not your, you know, it's your relationship with God. It's your prayer time. Jesus said, that's what the thieves come. What was supposed to have been a house of prayer for all nations has turned into a den of thieves. That's what they were after. They were after to steal the house of prayer. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus gets on the disciples when he says, when he came to the house, the disciple began questioning him privately, saying, why could we not, now watch this, go back, why could we not, and you finish that sentence out for yourself. Why couldn't we get along? Why couldn't we? Why couldn't I deal with this? Why couldn't I love? Why couldn't I make this? Why didn't I have the decision? Why couldn't I make that? Why? You finish that sentence out for yourself. And here's the reply that comes through the next scripture. And he said to them, this kind cannot, and let me say, cannot be dealt with except by prayer. This kind cannot be dealt with except by prayer. You can read a book, you can go and talk to friends till you're blue in the face, but until you get alone with God, you get everybody else's opinions. What do you think about? Get God's opinion about it. God, what do you want me to do? God, what do you want? I don't know. There have been times I've just laid before. I said, God, what do you want me to do? I don't want to do that. And when he says, or sometimes that's what I've been wanting to do. And your heart just gets right with God. And so you've got to get to the place where but the embezzler comes. Prayer, I want to ask you a question. How much do you pray? How often do you pray? You know, one of the keys is, if you're a crisis Christian, you know what a crisis Christian is? That is a crisis Christian is one who only prays in a crisis. Have you ever thought that maybe God wants to talk to you, and so the reason you got so many crises is because the only time you'll talk to him is during a crisis? Come on, somebody. So have you ever thought about maybe you having more crisis than a lot of people because maybe you're a crisis Christian? Oh, thank you for your enthusiasm on that page. Let's go right on to the next one. Brother Samuel. You know, I learned this, Brother Samuel, when he was a young guy, they said that in Jerusalem, somebody's phone, you'll get to, it's yours. So in that better be God calling. Brother Samuel in Jerusalem, he lived there. They said you could walk down streets, and he was a powerful. He saw angels. God, he didn't do that because he was special. That didn't happen to him because he was, you know, this. You know why that happened? You know why that took place? They said you used to walk down the streets of Jerusalem near where he lived, and you could hear him crying out to God way into the night seasons. They said you could just hear him wailing, crying out to God. Let me tell you something about Jesus. Jesus was not powerful because he was the Son of God. Jesus was powerful because he had an intense prayer life. He was powerful because he had a powerful prayer life. You read about him. It says he would send the crowds away, he would put disciples, and he would go to the mountain and pray. He would be this numerous times, and he was in prayer all night long before he chose the 12 disciples. You read about it. It says they would wake up in the morning, and he wouldn't be there, and they would go find him, and he was out in a desert place, a lonely place, praying to the Father, the Son of the living God. God himself had to pray. Think about that. He had to pray, and he was powerful because he prayed. And he prayed, and he prayed. And so the embezzler, the first thing the embezzler wants to steal from you, and that is your prayer time. He will steal your prayer. That's what he's wanting to steal. Why pray? Because God answers prayer. And a relationship with him. The tragedy, I say, is not unanswered prayer. It's unoffered prayer. You have not because you ask not. So how much do you pray? You'll always be defeated Christian until you pray. You'll always be defeated dad till you pray. You'll always defeated mom till you pray. You'll always be a defeated wife, a defeated husband, you will always be a defeated person until you pray. You may have a measure of intense, but the initiative rests on us. As powerful as God is, he can't come into your life until you pray. He says, you have not. I like these Acts 4. Look at the rest. And when they had prayed, the place they had gathered together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit, began to speak the word of God with boldness. But we will devote ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word. I was in the city of Joppa praying. I'm going to say praying. And in a trance, I saw a vision. Look at the next one. Was that it? Yeah. But so Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church of God. And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together, and they were praying. Then when they had fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and they sent them away. It happened as we were going to the place of prayer. A slave girl having a spirit of divination met us. Was bringing masters much profit by fortune telling. And you watch this because over and over and over again, you see the early church never let the thief come in. They never let the thief come in and embezzle their time and their energy and their desire. They watched the thief. They watched out for him. Had you known what time the thief was coming? And so the key is they would watch over it. How much longer will the thieves rob us of our prayer? Come on, somebody. So the first thing the devil does is he's a robber. He's a thief. He will come in to steal from you. And he'll do it through larceny. He'll do it through robbery. But the biggest thing is he'll do it through embezzlement. He'll embezzle your energy. He'll embezzle your time on. All right, that's the first thing. The second thing he does is, Jesus said, he has come to kill. The thief cometh only to steal. And the second one is to kill. And the definition of kill means to take the life of another. To take the life of another. And if you don't think this is a serious game, it is a serious, serious life. Because there is an enemy that he is out to kill you. The only reason he cannot kill you, God holds him back and he can only go so far. But let me tell you how he does this. One of the biggest things the devil tries to do many times is he will try to get you to commit suicide. I don't know how many people I've talked to through life and dealt with suicide. And many of you have been touched by that. I understand that. I'm very sensitive to that. But any voice that tells you to kill yourself is not God. It's not you. It's a demon. Come on, somebody. Any voice that whispers, go and pull, just, you know, slide your car thing over in the other lane and hit that other Big Mac truck head on, that is not God and is not you. It is a demon talking to you. Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly. The maniac, you remember there was a demonic maniac at Gadaria. And the Bible says that this maniac lived among the tombs and was trying to commit suicide. And God had not allowed him to commit it, but it says he cut himself. The cuttings and all that stuff is demonic. When you end up cutting yourself and all that you do, it says this demonic at Gadaria was cutting himself, screaming at night, on and on, trying to commit suicide. Listen, I don't care what is wrong in life, nothing is worth taking your life over. There's nothing you can't rebound from. I've learned this. My golden rule of my life has been I will make no major decision, and suicide would be in that class. I make no major decisions when I'm down, because if it's the right decision, it'll be the right decision when I'm up. Then I'll make it. That's why I'm still here after 40 years. There's a lot of Monday mornings I said, Virginia looks real good right now. Come on, somebody. I don't care how many bills you got. I never have figured this one out. People kill themselves because they owe so much money. Listen, if you can't pay it, Visa's out, not you. Why take your life over your bills? You got money. You know, my husband went to the grocery store 15 years ago and never came back. Well, thank God and Greyhound he's gone. Come on, somebody. There's 7.4 billion more people on the planet Earth you can choose from. Oh, my boyfriend. You know how teenage girls can be. My boyfriend, and they get all worked up and da 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 da. And listen, he's probably a jerk anyway. Thank God he's gone. Come on, somebody. I like this. If you ever do experience death in an area, watch this. Paul wrote, "For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, our affliction, which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even, despaired." Did you think he ever despaired even of life? You ever despaired even of life? Most of you, the morning of or the day after the flood, despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of what? Death. We had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we knew it was over. Man, that was it. There's just no hope. You know what he said? So that we would not trust in ourselves, but in the God. Watch this. The God who raises the dead. Amen. That even if you have experienced death, the enemy has come in and was able to kill. Paul said we had that sentence of death in us. So that we would learn that God is even greater than death. That he can raise the dead. That he can bring it back to life. That whatever sentence has been passed in your life, for whatever reason, there is an ability to rebound, because you serve a God who knows how to raise the dead to life again. But in God, so who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and will deliver us, and on him we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us again. Everybody say amen one more time. So you know, listen, when you're dead, you don't need insurance anymore. You need assurance. Come on, somebody. You need the assurance of a resurrection. You need the assurance that God can bring back to life what was dead. I like in John chapter 11, he says, "Then he said after he had said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover. Jesus spoke to them of his death, but they thought he was speaking of literal sleep." You know what Jesus likened death to? He said he likened it to sleep. You know why? Because he knew it was only temporary. Come on, somebody. And the Bible says when you and I die, if you've got a loved one that's died in the Lord, the Bible says it, they are asleep. You know why? Because it's just a temporary condition. And that's why he looked at them and said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. And the reason he said that was because he knew it was a temporary condition. And there'll be a day, listen, they will announce, Ben will probably come up here and announce, Dad's gone. Listen, don't believe him. Come on, somebody. I'll just be asleep because I'm coming back. I'll be more alive on that day than hallelujah. And I'm just asleep because I will rise again. And we will see each other again and they will come. And so it was just a temporary condition. Your dream is not dead, it's just asleep. Your marriage is not dead, it's just asleep. Your business is not dead, it's just, God can raise the dead. And so if the devil's come in and the thief has killed whatever it was, God can bring it back to life. And he can give you a new, come on somebody say amen, amen. I love it because when at the beginning of this chapter, I didn't write this verse down, it says, Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick. Not Lord, he that loves you. No, he didn't say it. He said, Lord, he whom thou lovest. Aren't you glad that our guarantee is not based on our love for him, but his love for us? Amen. The only reason we love him is because he first loved us. And the only reason, so the thief comes to steal and to kill. Now, the last one is this. The thief comes to destroy. And the word destroy means to be broken to pieces and not able to put back together in its original state. To be broken to pieces. How many of you watched the Super Bowl this year? Anybody watch the Super Bowl? Did you see the, I think it was an insurance commercial. Did you see the one with Humpty Dumpty in the hospital bed? Did you remember that? You saw that one? Humpty Dumpty's in a hospital bed, and out in front of the bed is all the king's horses and all the king's men. And they're sitting there. And Humpty Dumpty's on the telephone with an insurance company, and he's complaining, you know, about these worthless helpers he's got that hadn't helped him. And he's all cracked up, and he's a big egg. I think he's a big egg or something, whatever. He's sitting there, and it oozes. Okay, we won't go into all that, but it kind of. But this is what this means right here. It means to be broken to pieces and not able to be put back together in its original estate. And so listen, even if the enemy has destroyed some things, and there's no way that it can be put back together like it was. Let me give you a word for you. God is a recycler. God's got that other trash can that's not a trash can. Come on, somebody. It's a recycler. It's a recycling thing. And how many of you are having a hard time keeping your workers from filling up your recycling bin with trash? Anybody else having that problem at your house? But it's recycling. God is a recycler. And let me give you, Jesus told Peter, I have prayed for you because Satan has desired to sift you. And sifting is a natural thing that happens to wheat. It's when, you know, the end product is, well, we love it, but the process of sifting is tough. Because what they do, the first thing that happens to wheat before it is sifted, it gets crushed. I mean, it gets pounded. It gets crushed. The hard outer shell, you know, all of us have those, gets crushed. And then when after it's crushed, they would put it in a screen and they would throw it up in the wind and allow the wind to blow away the lightweight shell that need to be separated from the heavier substance, the wheat. And some of you feel like you've been, you know, crushed and thrown to the wind. Some of you feel like, I feel like the rug's been pulled out from under me. And it will never be the same. Some of you are looking at your house and it's not like it was. It's not as pretty. It's not as, you know, it's not the kind I had. I had it so much better and it was looked so much as you. And it was, and I'll never, let me tell you, listen, the beauty of recycling is this. You can throw an old milk jug away and put it in the recycling bin. And it can come back out as somebody's ear. Come on, somebody's earring. Nice plastic earring. They recycled that thing. And they put it in the furnace, and when it comes back out, it can be a, you know, what was a milk jug, an empty milk jug thrown away, now become an earring. And I've learned this. Listen, if you're going through the process and you're not what you used to be, it's only because God is about to bring His ultimate purpose to pass in your life. And you're going to come out as, like Job said, Lord, when He has tried me, I will come forth as, everybody say, with pure. You know, 18 karat is not pure gold. 18 karat is you know, or let's say 14%. 14% karat is like 14% and 10%, you know, metal and other stuff. 18 karat gold is 18 gold and 6% junk. But 24 karat gold is pure gold. And it takes a smith to raise the temperature. 2,500 degrees is what you've got to have to make pure gold. If you feel like you've been through a fire you've never been through in your life, He's after pure gold. Come on this time. Come on, somebody. And I want you to be useless mightily. God says, oh, let me turn up the heat a little bit. John 10:10 says, He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that you might have life. Dodie Osteen was, you know, she was the wife of John Osteen, the pastor of the church in Houston, Texas. And the day came when she was not feeling well, and she went a while, and finally her and John went to the doctor. And they finally diagnosed her late with, I forgot what kind of cancer it was, but she was sent home with 3 months, at the maximum, 3 months to live. And she got hold of this scripture, and she just began to feed herself on the Word of God. And this scripture just grabbed her, that the thief has come to destroy her life. So what she began to do was, you ought to hear John tell the story. John, he's in heaven now, but he said, you wouldn't believe, that first morning, she went and she opened up every window in that house, and she started screaming at the top of her voice, thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. You thief, you murderer, you will not take my life. And he said, John said, I got so embarrassed because you could hear that thing all the way down the neighborhood, all the way down the street. Dodie's lost her mind. And then he said, that wasn't bad enough. He said, I started making sure I was at the office at 8 o'clock. Everyone, come on, somebody. And I was there. But he said, the problem was at 10 minutes after 10 at night, nobody went to bed early in our house. Come on, somebody. Because she would start screaming at the top of her lungs, John 10:10 again. And she would tell him that he was a thief and a murderer and he was not going to steal. She had 3 months to live. She did that for one solid year, and God healed her completely. Come on, somebody. And you know what? And John died and went to heaven. Come on, John's already dead and gonna. She still lived. Come on, she's still alive. Still kicking. Come on, somebody. Let me tell you, let me end up with this. There's some deterrents to thieves. Most of you know this in the natural. There's some deterrents that you can stop thieves without ever having to deal with them in the first place. Number one is light. You know, the number one thing to deal with a thief is make sure you got a lot of light. Lights everywhere. And thieves hate light. The number one deterrent to a thief is a bright light. Lights outside your house, lights outside our building. You know, we got all kind of things out here, da-da-da. And Psalms 119, listen to this. Your word is a what? A lamp to my feet and a what? A light. Listen, the number one thing, the reason we got these cards out here for you for the next 2 months to read the Word of God is because it is the biggest thief deterrent that we can provide for you. Because at the entrance of thy word brings light. And the reason some of you are getting destroyed and some of you are getting robbed and some of you are getting stolen from is because you're living in darkness. And you need to turn the light on. Turn the light on in your life. Get the Word of God in you. Get the Word of God flowing through you. Turn on the light. And that devil walks down the street, he looks, oh no, that place full of light. Let's go on down the next one. Oh, look at that house. They're watching reruns of Mickey Mouse. Let's go in there because they're in dark. Come on, somebody. So if I were the devil, the first thing I would do, I'd attack the Word of God. I would tell you it's got so many complexities and it's got so many, controversies, and this doesn't match up and that doesn't match up and this isn't right and that isn't right. And I would get you to stop reading it and learning, loving it, studying it, becoming part of your life. And so the devil did it at the very beginning. He came to Eve at the very beginning and attacked the Word of God. He said, "Hath God said? Hath God?" And he's never stopped that. Because he wants you to live in darkness. He wants your house in darkness. He doesn't want you to know your rights. He doesn't want to know the privileges you have in the Lord. He doesn't want to know how to deal with him. He doesn't want you to know all that stuff. He wants you to live in darkness so that when he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, he does it in darkness. Jesus said it over and over, the hour of darkness. It's your hour. It's the hour of darkness. See, the biggest deterrent to a thief is turn on the light. No, devil, John 10:10 says you're a thief. You're a robber, you're a liar, you've come to steal, kill, destroy, but you're not going to, because Jesus has come to bring life and life more abundantly. And the reason you get the Word in you is because that's how you turn the light on in your life. That's how you turn the light on. I'm going to tell you, had it been for the Word of God, I wouldn't have two kids serving God. I wouldn't have a son, will take over somewhere in the future. I wouldn't have that because it wasn't because I was just right. We live the Word of God. We love it. Jasmine loves it. I love it. I'm going to tell you, we study the Word. It's not just something we do and pretend. It's our life. The Word of the living God. So you've got to get it in your life. You've got to feed it to your children. You ought to hear our kids. They know Scripture because we fed it to them. We lived it for them. It was part of our life because they need to. If the child doesn't know, how are they going to deal with themselves when they go out in the world? So the devil, if I were the devil, I would belittle the Word. I would make fun of the Word. I'd get the Word taken out of schools. I'd get the Word taken out of homes. I would get it, kings have tried to banish the book. Whole continents have tried to run it. Governments have taken it out of whatever kingdoms have burned it. Hollywood has blasphemed it. But brethren, I'll tell you one thing. The Bible says that not one jot or tittle will pass away before all things are fulfilled. And God honors His Word above all His name, the Bible says in the book of Psalms. And you need to come to the place where you honor the Word of God in your family. Honor the Word of God in your house. Honor the Word of God in your life. I told you, I take my Bible a lot of places. I was out getting my oil changed. I'm in there. How many know? They never seen, probably never nobody brought a Bible in and read it while they're reading, getting their oil changed. People just look at you like you're strange. People look at you, got a Bible with you. You carry a Bible on them. They think, what in the world? Keep it within the four walls of the church. Come on, somebody. God said this. The day the Bible says in the book of Genesis, God said and it was so. God said and it was so. God, listen, the testimony of all history will be one time is at the end of time, God said and it was so. Amen. So Satan loves darkness. He's a prince of darkness. He operates in darkness. But when you pray and take hold of the Word of God, you shed the life and the thief is exposed. Satan wants to keep you in darkness and on. So you need to do that. The last thing this morning is insurance. During the flood, we've talked, many of us have talked about our stories. How deep, how many feet did you get? How many inches, feet, da, da, da. And we talked about that. But the other big question is, did you have insurance? I had insurance. No, I didn't. No, I had no insurance. I had insurance. No, I didn't have any insurance. I had a little bit, but not. And let me tell you something. One of the biggest things about is when they interviewed them, you could see them on TV. They'd go to one house. They'd say, "Sir, what happened?" And they'll say, "Man, we lost everything. I know I lost everything." The other night, we videoed our house after we came back, the first walkthrough of our house, and da da da. And you go, and like a TV is interviewing, and "Man, I lost everything. I don't know what we're going to do. Man, I have to work another 25 years just to catch back up where I was at. Man, I lost everything." And then you walk over to another house. "I didn't have any insurance." Then he interviews the other guy across the street. "Yeah, we lost everything, but praise God, we're all alive. Praise God, we got our lives. Didn't lose our lives. Did you have it?" "Oh, yeah, I had full coverage." "Come on, somebody. I had full coverage insurance." Let me tell you something. We're in good hands. Let me tell you something about a Christian. You got a piece of the rock. And you got a good neighbor. Come on, somebody. When you understand you got insurance, listen, let me tell you something about God. You got full replacement value. And He doesn't even count off for a win. You got full replacement value. He says something like, because when you got insurance, it doesn't affect you as bad as somebody that had none. It affects you bad, but not like. So God says, "I will restore the years that the canker worm has eaten and the palmer worm." and that great army that I sent among, I will restore. Let me say the thing about God. God's got full replacement value with no deductible. Amen. Israel leaving Egypt. 400 years of not working, not being paid, slaves. And God comes on the scene and says, oh, I forgot one thing. Before you leave, ask all your neighbors for all their gold. You ever read that? So that Bible said they went and asked all the neighbors. Just piled up. You know what? That was payday. That was getting back pay. That was pay that they were owed. Come on, somebody. The thief is caught up and has restored. Listen, the Bible said one place he got to restore sevenfold. I've got a covenant right like David. The Bible said when David got stolen from, remember the day he was out fighting and he came back towards Ziklag, and it says that he saw smoke over top of the hill. When he got reached the top of the hill, Ziklag had been burned and everything they had got stolen. They got completely robbed. Their wives, their possessions, their cattle, their sheep, everything was stolen. And the Bible said, David began to pray, and God said, you get full coverage. You got full replacement coverage. Go back and recover all. Come on, somebody. Job, when this thief had come and stolen from Job, the Bible says at the end of the day, he got twice as much back as the devil had stolen from him. He's come in many homes, this morning. Musicians, come on up, would you? Many homes this morning, the devil's come, the thief's come to steal, embezzle in your marriage, embezzle in your life, embezzle your business. He's told you to commit suicide. Some of you, I just felt harsh, strong in the Lord about, man, just go ahead and end it. Man, I'm tired of this. Let's just go end this thing. It's just da-da-da. Some of you, the thief, you know, has stolen. Listen, but and you've got insurance. Some things, you know, have been killed, but you got assurance. Come on, somebody. Some of you are in the process where you've been broken and destroyed. But let me tell you something about your life. As long as you never allow the devil to break your will, there's always hope. When the prodigal son was broken and destroyed and eating the stuff that was belonged to pigs, about to eat it, the Bible says his will came alive. He said, I will return to my father. I will rebound from this. I've wasted so much. I wasted half the inheritance. I've wasted it, but I will rebound. I will stand up. As long as your will, the slaves that they took from Africa many times, the biggest thing, they'd have these songs they would sing over and over because they knew if these slave traders could not break their will, the day would come when they'd have the opportunity to leave and flee and get back home. And you got to come to a place where you tell the devil today, if he has ensnared you as his slave, he's killed or stolen or destroyed in your life, you say this with your heart, I will rebound. John 10:10 says it again. Thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. A threefold attack. But he, Jesus said, but I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Some of you, your life's in shambles. Why don't you close your eyes? Would you just close your eyes a minute? You need a Savior today. You need to do as the prodigal son said, I will arise and return to my Father. I will. Some of you have gotten away where you literally, it's so dark around your life and so dark around your home. And the devil's having a heyday. The devil's just having a heyday because he loves darkness. But you need to get the Word of God. You need to turn the light on around your house. You need to turn the light on in your life. You need to turn the light on. Get the Word of God. And at the entrance of thy Word is light. Thy word is a lamp. Thy word is a light to my feet. You turn the light on, and then you begin to really live correctly. Then you begin to, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. And you begin to walk correctly. You begin to make right decisions, and not these emotional decisions and mental decisions. You begin to do, I only do what I see my Father do. I only say what I hear my Father say. And you begin to live a life where you begin to live according to God, not your own experience, not your own life. Begin to do that. Listen, let the light in, for the light turns on. I will come to God. I will come back. I will let the Lord do that. Listen, Jesus loves you. So this morning, I want you to do this. Whatever situation you're in, everybody stand up. Would you just stand up just for a minute? Keep your eyes closed. Because I want you, whatever situation, whether you're in the devil has stolen from you, whether the devil has killed something, or whether the devil has destroyed something in your life, and then it's literally just broken. Listen, he is a great recycler this morning. He will take what the devil meant for evil, turn for good. and stop the nonsense of it's not like it was, it's not as good as it was, it's not like it was. Stop all that. He's bringing about his end purpose. It might have been a milk jug before, now you're going to be an earring. It might have been a can or something. Now you're going to be turned into a vessel or a trophy, whatever it may be. And the Lord's going to bring to pass and restore. Because you've got not only insurance, you've got assurance. You've got it that God is able to raise the dead. He's able to bring back to life whatever has been destroyed. He's able to restore what the worm, what the enemy has destroyed. He's able to restore. Let's sing that song. Close your eyes and sing it.
The one who does impossible, oh, is reaching out to make me whole, reaching out to make me whole.
Come on, lift your hands.
The one who put death in his place, oh, his life is flowing through my veins, his life is flowing through my veins. Oh, I believe. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. Oh, I believe in you.
Come on.
I believe in you.
Yeah.
You're the God of miracles.
Yeah.
The God who was and is to come.
Up his countenance upon you, and the Lord give you peace. And the Lord give you ability now to break out of old habits and allow the light of the Word of God to come in. I pray, Lord, that the power of the Word and the power of light would drive out darkness and it would not overcome. I pray, God, that everywhere the devil has stolen and killed and destroyed, this morning I thank you for the assurance and the insurance. I thank you for touching us. I thank you, Lord, for encouragement. I thank you for a new day in lives of families, among children, among wives and husbands, in businesses, Lord, in brothers, between brothers, between sisters, between moms and dads and children and grandparents. Lord, that the Word of God would come forth and it would be the light that would grease. And Lord, in a relationship, I pray for the prayer life of every person in here would become vibrant this week. And Lord, they would touch the throne of heaven. And it would be the grease that would grease every will of their life. And it would change them, Lord. And we love you. And everybody said amen today. Give one more good clap offering. Amen. All right, turn around and give somebody a good high five.